أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, we're at the stage of the story of Nabi Sulaiman that the Hajj is now complete. Nabi Sulaiman is now moving back towards the Holy Land. He and his troops come to an area where they need water. And there was a bird who was responsible for finding water for them, the hoopoe. The hoopoe, we learn from some ahadith, some traditions, they say that this hoopoe, this bird, could sense water under the ground. There was a lot of strange, exotic, and wonderful things happening in the time of Nabi Sulaiman. So when he reviews the troops and he starts to search, he sees that one of the birds is missing, and it's the hoopoe. Now we'll start the verses of the Holy Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وتفقد الطير فقال ما لي لا أرى الهدهد أم كان من الغائبين. One day he reviewed the birds and said, why is it that I not see the hoopoe? Or is he absent? Is he غائب? He says, لَأُؤَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. I will surely punish him with a severe punishment, or I will surely behead him unless he brings me a clear-cut excuse. Verses of the Quran. So either he brings me a very clear excuse, a reason why he's gone, or there's going to be a terrible punishment for him. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that Nabi Sulaiman is infallible. He's also running an army. In an army, one of the things that's very necessary is discipline. And he has a punishment, he has a system. He's not going to do oppression, but he had his reasons, and the punishment was going to be very severe. Unless, he says, unless he comes to me with a clear reason, a clear excuse, then I'll let him off. Now, brothers and sisters, what we're going to do is tonight, inshallah, the talk will be a lot shorter. Afterwards, inshallah, our dear brother Rami will be reading the Maqtal for us in English. We'll be able to hear what happened for Imam Hussein, which is very important. We want to be able to actually hear the events, what transpired. So the speech will be, inshallah, a little bit shorter. Now, what we're going to do, inshallah, is try and take inspiration from these verses, from the verses of the Holy Quran. How can we use these verses to apply ourselves, to apply them to our lives, to become those soldiers of Imam Mahdi? And we know, brothers and sisters, that being a soldier of Imam Mahdi means that Islam has to go in the mind, heart, and then after that manifests itself in my actions. My actions and the way that I interact with others has to be based on God's religion. The way that I deal myself has to be based on God's religion. How I deal with the outside world, outside of the Muslims, that also has to be based on God's word. So how can we use some verses, these verses now, and start this process? We'll start off with some lessons on leadership, practical lessons on leadership. Now for us, one of the things we want to remember about leadership is that for us as believers, as those who are servants of God, being a leader is actually not an ego trip. If I've been placed in a position of responsibility, or I've even asking Allah, please give me the opportunity to serve you by being in a position of leadership, never, brothers and sisters, is it about the nafs and the ego. We learn from a hadith, they say, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. The person who has a responsibility towards a group of people, who's the leader of a group of people, Sayyidul Qawm, this person is actually their servant. If we've been given that responsibility, we're the servant. But it is true. In Islam, yes, we are sometimes responsible for other human beings. There's a hadith that says, "Kullukum ra." Each one of you is a shepherd. Each one of you has a circle of influence. But now let's look at the divine way of looking at this leadership or circle of influence. It says, "Kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatih." Each one of you are going to be asked about your flock. Those people who you had effect over, those people who you could talk to, who you listened to, what did you do with that responsibility? So service from one side, the other side, answering to God. But now, I do have this heavy sense of responsibility. I am in a position of leadership. How can I apply some of the lessons that I've learned from this verse? Now, when we say leadership, brothers and sisters, even that circle of influence might be inside the family. Another hadith, this is from our Prophet. He says that kullu nafsin min bani Adam sayyid. Everybody actually is sayyid, he says. Everybody has this position of leadership. And he starts talking about the family. The hadith continues. He starts off with the family. He says, farrajul sayyidu ahlih. The man is in charge of his family. He says, wal mara'atu sayyidatu baytiha. The woman is the manager of her home. He continues, the hadith continues. We're learning that the initial lesson, the idea that each one of us is responsible. There are people who sometimes listen to us, who we're responsible for, we're serving. Now, what are some lessons that we can get from this verse? One of them is just the idea of service of Islam itself. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, I want you all to join me in sending, let me tell you who it's for first. All of those volunteers, brothers and sisters, who made this program possible. May Allah reward all of you for attending, but may Allah give special blessings to each and every one of those brothers and sisters who we don't see, who stay here later than us, who are sometimes out in the parking lot, getting colds, directing traffic, keeping us safe, keeping this place beautiful. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, join me with sending a salawat for each and every one of them. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. Brothers and sisters, without volunteers, it would not be possible to do Islamic work. There's something very noble. If Allah gives us the tawfiq to do this, it's something we want to thank Allah for. But now, even if we're running an Islamic organization like Nabi Sulaiman, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be professional. First lesson. Nabi Sulaiman is running an Islamic organization, an army for the sake of God. But Nabi Sulaiman is very professional. If you break the rules, there is accountability. We don't want to join, this sometimes happens in some Islamic organizations, people want to join the organization, they want to be a volunteer, but then there's no accountability. Whenever they do something, I'm doing you guys a favor. This is my second job. It's not the case that we take it the same accountability that we do, for instance, with our jobs, right? We give you the time that we have, and we don't. Well, brothers and sisters, if you do volunteer, then we consider ourselves accountable. People are counting on us. So, that's just one quick reminder. But now, back to the initial lesson. The idea of us learning a lesson from this verse, where we saw that Nabi Sulaiman had rules. People were accountable according to him. If you didn't show up, you didn't honor your commitments, then there were even punishments. He would rebuke you. He would reproach you. Now, how can I use this, a verse like this, and apply it to some of those other roles of leadership? Let's say I have a factory. I'm an employer. Let's say I'm a teacher, a scout leader, a mother, a father, somebody who has a sense of responsibility. One of the lessons that we can learn, brothers and sisters, a very important lesson, is the lesson of not rushing to judgment. What did Nabi Sulaiman say? When he saw the bird wasn't there, and there were rules. Clear rules. If you break them, if you violate them, there's accountability. But at the same time, one thing he did was not rush to judgment about the bird. He didn't rush to judgment about the hoopoe. He said, unless the hoopoe comes to me with a clear excuse, then otherwise I'm going to deal with the hoopoe. So brothers and sisters, not rushing to judgment. Some people rush to judgment, end up making big mistakes. I remember hearing a story once. They said that there was an old man. And he came to a doctor, and he told the doctor, I'm very concerned about my wife's hearing. I think she's going deaf. I think she really needs to see you. He said, really? Well, the first thing to do is let's figure out how serious the problem is. He says, I'll give you some instructions. When you go into the house, stand around 25 feet away from your wife and then say something to her. If she hears, good. If not, go a little closer, say it again. Not closer, closer, then come back and tell me the results. The old man was so concerned, he said, I'll do that. So he came home, he opened the door, and he said, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. He went 5 feet closer. Again, he said it. Honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. A little closer. Honey, what's for dinner? Didn't say anything. Finally, he's very close from her, 5 feet from her, and he says, honey, what's for dinner? And his wife turned around to him. She was so angry. She said, for the fourth time, lasagna. So what happens sometimes when we judge? We rush to judgment. We might make mistakes. Maybe the problem is in us. Now, not rushing to judgment. That's one of the things, the lessons that we learn from Nabi Sulaiman, is not rushing to judgment. He says, if he comes to me with a clear excuse, then it's clear. So not rushing to judgment. Brothers and sisters, one of the problems in families, and I'm telling this, many of you are younger, you haven't gotten married yet, or you're in the beginning, inshallah, still in the honeymoon period, inshallah. Sometimes what happens, the reasons that sometimes couples face problems, is rushing to judgment. The other person makes a mistake, they do something which is against the rules, and then I come down on them like a ton of bricks. Instead of like being like Nabi Sulaiman, saying there are rules, there are things we're supposed to do, but let's wait and see. Let's first not assume the person is trying to get me, is trying to harm me, is trying to disrespect me. First, let me find out. So Imam Ali gives us instructions, actually. This is now from the first Imam. He says, a very important spiritual trait, but also important for those who are trying to be in positions of leadership and direct others towards God. He says, قِلَّةُ الْعَفْ أَقْبَحُ الْعُيُوبِ. The Imam says, being unforgiving is the ugliest flaw. There's some people, no matter what excuse you bring to them, logical, not logical, you really repentant, unforgiving. He says, this is the ugliest flaw. And then he says something else which is even worse. He says, وَتَصَرُّ إِلَى الْإِنْتِقَامِ أَعْظَمُ الذُّنُوبِ. He says, rushing to punish, to get intiqam, to get vengeance. He said, this is the greatest sin. There's some people who are like that. As soon as there's a mistake, not waiting to hear the answer, now revenge, punishment. Right? Brothers and sisters, we talked about this before, that what we learned from Amir al-Mu'mineen about being a leader and about being responsible for a group of people. I do come over and I make rules. I do set things in order. There is accountability in my family. If somebody does make a mistake, we will talk to them. But he says gentleness. So I set those rules. I know people sometimes make mistakes. Remind them again, make sure they don't make that mistake, keep encouraging them. But he says the best policy is to be gentle, not to rush to punishment, to never forgive. So something that we want to be careful about it. Now, there's another question that comes to mind. Why is it that some people aren't able to be patient? They do rush to justice. They do rush to punish. All of us, and I'm saying this for myself first, I'm saying it so all of us benefit, but I'm saying it to myself first. Why is it that sometimes we react very quickly and we make judgments that we're not supposed to do? One of the reasons, brothers and sisters, is this. It's difficult for us to leave certain things to God. We want to fix it all ourselves. What does God teach us about guidance? This is from the Quran. Allah says in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This is very good, brothers and sisters, for working with others. And sometimes when we tell other people the right things, they don't immediately start to follow and do what we're saying, even though we're saying the right things. What's the verse of Quran? Allah says to the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Verily, you, Prophet, you don't guide the one who you love. وَلَكِنْ Allah يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. God guides whoever he pleases. Brothers and sisters, why is this verse so important for those of us who are working to spread Islam in our own families, amongst others, guide ourselves, guide others. So important. Why is it so important? Guidance, brothers and sisters, is not in our hands. It's in Allah's hands. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to present the truth, explain, lead by example. But I know the effect is in God's hands. If I can leave these things in God's hands, then it's easier for me to simply do my responsibility. I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to immediately punish. I don't have to immediately see results. For me, when I take account of myself, I want to look and see, did I do what my responsibility was? Those people are able to be more patient. So, because we're going to stop exactly on time, I think Brother Rami will be here in 3 minutes. So because of that, then I'll just give you a little bit more of what happened in the story. Nabi Sulaiman didn't rush. He wasn't excited. He said, I'll wait, I'll hear. What did happen? What happened was that the bird, the hoopoe, it actually was flying and it meets another bird, another hoopoe. There's a conversation. We look in our hadith, a conversation that's had between these birds. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from the Holy Land. My master is Sulaiman, the son of Dawood. Who is he? I have never heard of him. He is a powerful kingdom. He rules over the men and the jinn and the beast. He says, well, interesting. I come from another land. There's another ruler. Her name is Bilqis. She has a powerful kingdom. I think you should come and take a look at her kingdom. She's the ruler in Yemen. The hoopoe was a little bit worried, to be honest. He said, well, I'm worried that the prophet might look for me. He's going to come for the prayer time. He says, don't worry about it. The prophet will be happy when you give him good news about this situation. So the bird thought about it. He said, now I'm going to go and try and find out what's over there. Back to the verse now. And I have a couple of seconds, so I'll read the verse for you. فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ It didn't take very long. The bird now back. فَقَالَ قَدْ أَحَطَّ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَإٍ بِنَبَإٍ يَقِينٍ It did not take very long before the bird turned up, and he said, I have become aware of certain information which you were unaware of. He says that I have brought you certain news from the land of Sheba. So brothers and sisters, I know we're stopping right in the middle of an exciting point, but inshallah, I will leave you all with the salam on al-Imam al-Husayn. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifana'ik. Alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar. Wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahdi minni li ziyaratikum. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد